We've been going through the first century church, becoming a first century church. Today, it seems like churches have gone down a road of entertainment instead of worshiping God. So that's why we wanted to go through this, becoming a first century church. It says on the front of your book cover, a revolution back to the Bible, away from all the traditions that are getting picked up in our churches today, back to the Bible, where once again God's word is our guiding light when we get up in the morning and throughout the day. Today's lesson, true worship in the first century church. True worship in the first century church. True worship as seen, as laid out in God's word. Let's start out with our questions. Get your questions out if you would, please. There's a lot of stuff in this lesson. We are not going to get through it. We will be in the same lesson for 2 weeks. You have your questions in front of you. Monday's question, according to John 4:23, how do true worshipers worship the Father? Ma'am? In spirit and in truth. Excellent. In fact, 4:23 is our memory verse. In fact, who would like to say our memory verse? In fact, peek at it real quick in front of your eyes before you say it. Our memory verse. Who'd like to say that? John 4:23. Go ahead and look at it for a couple of minutes here. John 4:23. It's at the beginning of your lesson there. All right, John 4:23. Who'd like to say that for us? But the hour cometh. Anybody want to do that? Okay, I'll say it then. John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So the worship in spirit and in truth. Tuesday, who was seeking after the woman from Sychar? Compare John 4:4-7 and Luke 19:10. Who was seeking for the woman? Who seeks after mankind for salvation? Kelly, the Lord Jesus, Luke 19:10. We see him called, referred to as the Son of Man, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, the Lord Jesus is seeking mankind. Wednesday, John 4:10. What two things did the woman at the well not know? What did she not know? Kelly Dye? That's correct. She did not know the gift of God and to whom it was that she was speaking. She did not have any idea she was speaking to the Son of God. Okay, then Thursday, compare John 4:23 and Philippians 3:3. Is it possible for unsaved people to worship God? Nice job, Amy. It's your husband's fault. Blame him. The guy's not even here and he gets the blame. Kelly? It's not possible. Okay, explain your answer. Exactly. Excellent. Excellent, because we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Romans 8:5 says, for they that, memory verses are hard when you get up here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So exactly, you have to be in the spirit. You have to be a Christian in order to worship the Father. Excellent. We see many churches today, all kind of unsaved are coming in and being part of the worship, all the nonsense going on in God's pulpits today. Excellent. Okay. Friday. What are the three musts in John 3, 7, 14, and 4:24? Ma'am? Excellent. Very good. You must be born again. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, obviously on the cross, and must worship him in spirit and in truth, 4:24. And then in Revelation 5, 9 through 14, who received the glory from the worship? Any other hands? Anybody shy? I don't blame you. Kelly Dye? Then, a Lamb of God that was slain. Excellent. And then the second part of that question, how does this apply to our worship services? Excellent. Worship is only for God. It's only for God. We worship God only. When you see churches today, everything going on up here on God's platform up here is to make man feel good, make him happy, make him this, make him that. No, worship is about God. Worship is about God. There are none of us in this room that deserve to be worshiped. There is only one, and that's God. Worship is for God. It is not for mankind. Excellent. If you didn't have your memory verse for this week, and you we'll be going back over this next week, we'll still have the same memory verse. So go ahead this week and work on that. We'll get partway through the lesson today, and then we'll finish up next week. There's much happening in our churches today called worship. It is not true worship at all. God and God alone is worthy of our worship. He says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking those who will worship him. Let us look at God's word and gain an understanding of true worship so that we may be true worshipers. Our aims today are to recognize that much of what is called worship today is not true worship. Also, to understand that we cannot be true worshipers of God unless we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then to realize that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, and then to see that if we are going to truly worship God, our eyes must be on the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Let's start reading in John chapter 4 and verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In this thou saidest truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We read about the Lord Jesus here and the woman at the well. That was different. Did I miss it? I guess I don't need it. We read about the Lord Jesus here and the woman at the well. Many things in our story reach out to our attention. But we notice at verse 23, the expression, true worshipers. True worshipers. Are we true worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we true worshipers? Did we prepare this morning before we came here to worship the Lord? Or did we come for another reason? Did we come to please our pastor? And certainly that's a good thing. Many other reasons people come. We need to come to worship the Lord. What does it mean to be a true worshiper? We do not have to come together collectively to worship the Lord, do we? Certainly not. We can worship God alone in our hearts, praising him and entering into his presence. However, we set aside a place to meet and come together on the Lord's day. Brother Terry, thank you very much. We set aside a place to meet and come together on the Lord's day to have a service. We say that we are there to worship the Lord. But we know that much of what is going on in our churches today in the name of worship is not true worship at all. It is not pointing mankind to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a feeling that we feel better, that people are happy. Our mega churches today are leaving the gospel and are bringing people in and making them feel good. They're leaving their money. They're getting counted. They're being part, and they're going home, and they've not worshiped God at all, and they don't even know it. God has made us that we might worship Him. Once we've been redeemed by His precious blood, it is impossible for us to be followers of the Lord that we must be unless we are true worshipers of Him. Unless we've been saved, we cannot worship Him. Again, Romans 8:5, for they that walk in the flesh, why are the verses so hard when I'm looking at you? Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You and I have been born again. We are saved. We are to walk after the Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit because we have been born again, because we are of the Spirit. A few things the lady here at the well, two things, and the two things that every time you present the gospel to someone, it never changes. One of your memory verses was Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the two things, as Kelly answered the question this morning, that the woman did not know. She did not understand who it was that was talking to her. She didn't know. She did not know salvation. She did not have it before she met the Lord that day. As we are witnessing, these are the two things. He said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that was talking to you. That's salvation. That's salvation that we give to other people. That's it. God, mankind is a sinner before God. And the only way to have that sin taken care of is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Several things in John chapter 4 lead up to this teaching about true worship. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus, He must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. A woman needed salvation. A town needed salvation. He had to go that way. Obviously, the Jews didn't go there at all, did they? That was a place of the half-breeds. We won't be anywhere around those folks. But Jesus had to go that way. Despite the Samaritan woman's wicked past, she had a divine appointment to meet the Son of God. The people that you and I worship, work with every day, they need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an appointment for them to be saved. God has called all man to be saved. All man to be saved. We have to be able to tell them. We have to tell them. Today, it can be hard in a company like Ford Motor Company if a Christian were to say something to someone of a different persuasion and that person were to go up front at Ford Motor Company, you can actually be terminated. You can be fired today. That is crazy. But that's the way it is. So your witness is careful. But it's still there. We still have to be witnesses. We still have to tell them. We still have to let them know that they're in darkness because they don't even understand it. She had a wicked past, but she had a divine appointment to meet the Son of God. As we look at, let's look at their conversation there in John chapter 4, read verse 7 through 10. Cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then cometh the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, that I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The Lord Jesus told her that she did not know the gift of God. Christ also told her that she did not know who it was that asked her of a drink. She did not know Jesus Christ. She did not know him as her Savior. Christ made the woman at the well aware of her sin. First of all, he made her aware of her sin. Where's your husband? I don't have a husband. Well, you've actually had five men that you've had, and now you're with another one. He brought her sin to her. He told her of her sin. He made her aware that she was a sinner. Christ made the woman aware of her sin by asking her who her husband was. People must be aware of their sin. Most people don't know that they're sinners. If you'd ask the average guy, are you a sinner? Well, no, I'm not a sinner. Well, do you ever do anything wrong? Well, yeah, you know, I do some things wrong. But they're sinners. And in order for them to be saved, they have got to get lost. People must be aware of their sin and know that sin has separated them from God. The only payment for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Many men do many things. The Roman Catholicism is very big, and people, I don't know the religion real well, but it's my understanding that you can pay money to get rid of sins. Am I right? Some of you that have come out of Roman Catholicism, you can pay money to get rid of sins. Wow, that's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. Our sins are only forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only payment for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has sought, he sought after this woman. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He sought for her to know the gift of God and to whom and to know him. I'd like to read to you a quote from A.W. Tozer. Preacher of yesterday. A.W. Tozer stated more than 50 years ago, pastors and churches in our hectic times have been harassed by the temptation to seek size at any cost and secure by inflation what they cannot gain by legitimate growth. They are greedy of thrills, and since they dare no longer seek them in the theater, they demand to have them in their churches. The thrills. A church fed on excitement is no New Testament church at all. The desire for surface stimulation is a sure mark of fallen nature, the very thing that Christ died to deliver us from. Because we are not truly worshipers, we spend a lot of time in the churches just spinning our wheels, burning the gasoline, making a noise, but not getting anywhere for the Lord. Oh, brother and sister, God calls us to worship. But in many instances, we are in entertainment, just running a poor second to the theaters. And you see that in churches today. You probably see them on the TVs. You see all the nonsense going on. All the nonsense going on in the name of the Lord on God's podium, on God's platform. There's something special about this building. This is God's house. Now, are we the body of Christ as mankind? Yes, we are. But this building is designated, and we come here on Sundays to worship the Lord. This is a special place. This is a special place. You'll see parents. They won't let their kids run across that platform. You don't run up there. That's not what that is. This is God's house. And you'll see them instilling that in their young children from early on, so they understand this is a special place. This isn't like all the world out there. This is different. Ideally, there's two steps. When we come here, we want to be different. That's the first step. This is God's house. The second step is we want to be changed here and go away different. We want to be changed here and go away a different person. Much of what's going on today in our churches is not about God at all. It's about mankind. It's about entertaining man. True worshipers, those that have been born again, we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. We should be coming here on Sunday morning. We should have spoken with the Lord that morning and asked, Lord, what do you want from me today? When we come here, this should be a different place. We don't have the conversations here that we have out in the world. This is different. This is God's house. Hophni and Phinehas, they paid the price. They died because they didn't understand the holiness of God's house. The moving of the ark, when they moved it on the cart and didn't move it on the staves. And what's the guy's name? What's it, Uzzah? Reached up and steadied the ark. I'm going to help God. And God struck him dead right then. Because God is holy. God is holy. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we would pray, Lord, that we would truly know who you are. And Lord, each day as we read your word and memorize your word, and it gives us a little more understanding of who you are, Lord, might we walk as children of the light. Might we walk before the world in spirit and in truth so that the world can know, Lord, as this woman didn't know before she met Christ that day, that they might know who God is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Lord, we would pray, our desire would be that, Lord, that we would glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Work on that memory.